Okay.
Welcome to the bonus episode of the Counterculture Pimpcast. It's also a simulcast. We're going to let my man Raul tell you the name of this one, y'all, because it is off the Hizzle Fo Shizzle. Yeah, that's some old school stuff right there. But look, not going to spend all day getting into the to what I normally do, but I'm going to give you an abbreviated version of the sponsors, and then we're going to drive right on because this is something I'm definitely looking forward to. But this episode, as always, brought to you by Hickory Ridge Soap. From twoldcrowshomestead.com. Turn that simp into a pimp. Bam! Heaven's Harvest, 10% off with promo code PERMA. But also, don't forget about Peaceful Valley Farm Supply, 10% over there, also with promo code PERMA. And if you would like to
tip a pimp,
you can do it over there on the Fountain app. Tip a pimp over there, and you can, look, they got a derivation of Bitcoin called Satoshis, Sats. So if you want to drop a SAT on a PIMP, go do it on the Fountain app. Also, Redemption Shield. That's where I got my dogs right now on this mat. I'm grounded and I'm G'd up from the feet up, as I always am right here on the Pimpcast. Well, different name for it tonight, but we'll cover that, like I said, here in a minute. Also, EMP Shield, $50 off with promo code PERMA. Look, EMP Shield and Redemption Shield did not reach out to a player. I reached out to them. 27-year IBEW journeyman electrician, and I've been doing this stuff a long time, and I only go for the best. And that's why I reached out to EMP Shield. Look, things blow up in your house, like it just happened to my man Nathan Reynolds. You're going to want to have something like this because they're going to cover you for 25 G's if anything gets Kentucky Fried in the house. All right, with that said, y'all, I don't want to go without any further ado because we got a new title to this episode. In fact, it's probably going to be this every time I team up with my homeboys here, Raul, Alex from the Firmamental Podcast. But Raul, you got a different name for it tonight.
That's right, dog. Welcome to the Firma Culture Pimpcast. Welcome to the Firma Dome, folks. We back in the house with my boy Billy Bond, and we're super stoked to be here. I'm always glad when I get to rock with Billy, man. I love this dude.
Man, I love you guys too, man. And we got the Canadian lover up in the, oh, whoa, your wife might see this, the Canadian heartthrob himself. Alex, what's up, my man?
What's going on, guys? Good to be here. And man, I always love an intro when I get to smile the whole way through. So thanks for that, Billy.
Yeah, bro, it's always a pleasure. So hey, folks, this is a real, real treat tonight because honestly, I love these guys and I try to reach out to them as often as possible. I listen to every show. If you haven't listened to them, you really ought to. These guys are really, really blowing up, and they deserve every bit of it. I love every podcast. I love every program. And what I love more than anything is you got the very cerebral part of Alex, also with the very, very visceral Raul. And these two are like, I mean, it's like a perfect combination. It's like the odd couple, the modern day odd couple, but it works. It works. I mean, I'm probably showing my age here, but it really, really works. Well, I'll tell you the only real odd couple, and Alex, at your expense, bro, I'm going to laugh at it a little bit. The funniest show that I've ever heard on the Firmamental Podcast was you and that brother that you had in there. I don't remember who he was, but
Hayes the Dank.
Well, what was his name again?
Michael Hayes, but he goes by Hayes the Dank. That's his moniker on Instagram.
That was the funniest and it wasn't meant to be, but I was like, okay, this is without a doubt the funniest thing I've ever heard in my life.
That's funny. Oh man, I wish I had a better memory because I just record the episodes and I just move on and somebody's like, oh man, that was fantastic. I'm like, okay, I believe you. I'm just like, I'm just in the moment and then it's gone. It's so weird. It's hard to explain, right? When you're creating all this content, it's hard to remember everything you say and do.
Yeah, that's a fact. But what do you say we get down to brass tacks on this? Because we don't have these guys forever. Look, it's this is kind of an impromptu show. Raul's idea, and I immediately jumped right onto it. We were going to have a number four in here, their producer, Claude. And he can't make it tonight, but you know what? Three's a crowd anyway, right? So Claude, we'd have been pushing him out anyway. But no, I love Claude. He's a great guy. And maybe we'll get him around on the next one. But Raul, why don't you tell everybody your idea and how this thing and what you witnessed and what you wanted to do and why we're doing this?
Oh, man. So the other night, the good old presidential debate, the presidential debacle, I'll call it, between Biden and Trump, you know, Billy and myself were texting back and forth. We were just, I mean, basically laughing over text messages about what we were seeing on the screen. So I just popped in my head and I was like, Billy, we need to do an episode and just break down this debate and talk about all the possible scenarios that could come out of it, because I smell some funny business.
Right off the bat. Sorry, I had myself muted here. Look, I'll just go ahead and kick this thing off right off the bat. Okay, let me ask you guys. This is something of a rhetorical question, but I'm going to ask it anyway. Okay, so these guys are in their 70s, pushing 80s, whatever the case may be. How many ambitious, highly, truly ambitious retirees have you ever met in the course of your life that are seeking the highest public office? Have you ever seen, or how many people have you seen past the age of 65 or 70 that are seeking a job that pays far less than what they can make on the outside?
Yeah, none. It makes absolutely no sense. And the fact that these two guys are the only candidates, it's completely mind-boggling. And as a Canadian, I mean, we have our own problems, but to watch America go through this crazy, like, I call it political wrestling, like WrestleMania, of these two pathetic old geezers. Like, what happened to Gen X? What happened to Gen X? This is our time to shine. Yeah. We should have one of the best, like, 45-year-old candidates out there, smart, sophisticated, but we know, I mean, it's sad. We know that the game's rigged, and this is a complete mockery to all of us. So yeah, buckle up, folks, because we're gonna rip into it tonight.
Yeah, I'm curious to see what the Canadian response is to some of this, because we got to have some international opinion on this. Raul, what I mean, just on that first question right off the bat, I mean, how many ambitious, you've worked in places where you're going to have some people that are kind of nearing the end of their lives in a lot of different ways. In the course of my life, I've known a lot of people. I have never met anybody over the age of 70 that is going to go on a campaign trail and seek a job that pays considerably less than what they would make in the private sector. And I'm talking president, senator, congressperson, you name it. How many people, how many old timers have you ever seen that are out there saying, you know what, I want to add more to my plate?
Zero, big fat zero, man. I just think about my uncle and his wife, man. They're just sitting in recliners at home watching like Newsmax, you know, like, and that's all he's trying to do. You know, he's lucky to get a lap around the neighborhood. You know what I mean? So it's hilarious. And like Alex's point, you know, I think he makes a great point. We couldn't do any better. Like, you guys want a rerun of 2020? Like, Biden, I just looked it up, 81 years old, going on 82. Trump, 79, going on 80. You know, it's crazy to me. It's kind of sad what's going on with Biden. It really looks like elderly abuse. Like, I seen a video when the camera stopped rolling, but they were still filming, you know, and it shows Trump exiting stage. And then he's walking off the stage just fine. You know, he still has his faculties. They show Biden, his wife had to go up and grab his hand and literally help him down each step. I mean, this guy's bumbling, fumbling, stumbling all over his words. I mean, it's mind salad. I mean, absolutely. Some of the stuff that he said was unbelievable. I mean, this guy literally is in the stages of dementia, and it's apparent. So, I mean, how could you possibly have a political party and this is the best that you can choose? Like, listen, I know there's a lot of listeners and evangelicals that like Trump. And listen, my morals and my beliefs would definitely line up more with the conservatives. So I would lean more to that side, because the left is just so extreme on everything. But either way, I don't identify as either one. I'm in the middle. And like Alex said, why couldn't we find somebody who's who's in the prime of their life, you know, a modern day JFK or something, you know, somebody to lead the way, new thoughts, new looks, take us somewhere where we've never been before. I don't want to see a replay of this. And, you know, the Democrats are already, they're backtracking now on the candidate that they chose, but I think it's been planned like this from the start. So that's what we're going to get into. We're going to talk about the possible scenarios that could come out of this, right?
And where this may unfold. You know, I'm reminded of a quote, and I remembered this a long time ago, and it was from J.R.R. Tolkien. He said, and I'm going to loosely quote it, but essentially it went something like this. The most improper job of any man is bossing other men. Not one in a million is fit for it, and least of all those that seek the opportunity. Mm-hmm. Now, you can say that with all these politicians up one side and down the other. But like I said, when you already, first of all, you're a billionaire and you're seeking public office, that should raise a couple of red flags. Or you've been in the Senate your entire life, your adult life, we're talking Biden, and now you're president by hook or crook or whatever the case may be. With that said, Alex, I got to know, man, what is the general zeitgeist up there in Canada? For folks that don't know, like I said, he's a Canadian heartthrob. He works as a man dancer on the side. His wife didn't know about it. and then, yeah, he's over there. Yeah, he's shaking his moneymaker right now on camera, y'all. But anyway, from the Canadian standpoint, man, I mean, I know you guys aren't by and large happy with Trudeau, but I got to know, what's happening around the cooler, the water cooler? I know you work for yourself, but can you get any gauge of what's going on up there and what people thought about this debacle?
Well, there's a time and a place to talk to normies. And I remember I was talking to one of my clients because we do websites, right? And he had just moved to Idaho. And he was telling me, he's a psychologist, and he was actually going on and on about how mentally fit Biden is. And I'm just like, what? What do you mean he's mentally fit? Oh, yeah, he's passed all his cognitive tests and things like this was probably about 2 or 3 months ago. And I'm like, I actually think that we live in a completely different reality than other people. Something just because it doesn't make sense. Right. Like all three of us, I just have to chalk it up to the fact that we are completely in a different simulation than what everybody else is seeing or what their feeds are showing them. I think that we're all victims of our AI algorithms that our phones just pump it to us. But anybody who watched this debate, there's no way they could have censored it. There's no, like, how, even if you watched it, it's just like trying to explain flat earth to somebody. You could show them every single thing, but if they don't have the eyes to see it, like, I honestly think that there's people that just refuse to see the same wavelengths that we do. So there's got to be something in the mind that, like, what was it? Like 30% of people thought that Biden won the debate. Wow. I'm like, what? Like that? How is it? Sorry, I'm screaming into the microphone, but how is that even humanly possible that someone would be cheering for either side after seeing that menagerie? So, yeah, for me, I like to think that I'm a little bit more awake. Not that I'm smarter than anyone, but I'm more awake than most people. And Hunter Biden's laptop is real. And anybody that doesn't have the eyes or the ears to see and hear that and deny it, the fact that Biden was taking showers with his daughter and he's not like getting strung up and hung up for that, he's a pedophile. He's sniffing kids on camera. Like, what are we doing? Like, we are allowing these things to happen. And it actually drives me insane. And that's what I was talking to Raul about. It's like, okay, 2023 was the year of talking about conspiracies. 2024 should be the year of action. Like, we have to figure out how to do citizens arrests, how to have these people investigated. Like, there's got to be a way that the 99% actually fight back against what is being shown to us on the TV screen, because they show it and we allow it and then it goes through, and we need to stop that allowance. That, like, we are the front lines. Honestly, we are the mouthpieces. As scary as that is, I don't want to be the leader. I don't want to be Moses, but here we are in this position, and it's like, holy crap. Okay, well, I'll stand arm with you guys, and let's do this thing. So that's just kind of my rant on that.
You know, it makes me wish, honestly, if my ship were to come in tomorrow, I said it before on this podcast, if my ship were to come in tomorrow and I had all the means to buy all the land I could, I would basically do that and populate it with guys like y'all. And, you know, bring in a coalition of the willing of people that I know are awake, that are alive, that want to live, that don't want to be surrounded by this. Because honestly, at the end of the day, it's in my, where I'm standing, I couldn't care less really what's happening on a national level for the most part, because that's not where you make any change. Mm-hmm. You know, anything for good or ill always happens historically everywhere on the planet. There is not an exception where anything for good or bad always happens by a dedicated minority. So it's always those, that dedicated minority that does anything worthwhile. So that's exactly where I'm focusing right now, as I always have been. And even though we have what some folks are calling a homestead tsunami right now, it's painfully obvious that YouTube has got the brakes on anybody that's out there trying to teach people what I do, like how to grow food. Like the other day, we got a bumper crop of peaches out there. Man, I wish I could send them to you guys. I'll have to get you guys' addresses anyway, because I got some honey I need to send to you, some of this pimp drip, drip straight from the hive kind of honey. And hopefully the communists up there in Canada don't steal it on the way to you, Alex. But, you know, to me, I think that's part of the solution. But before I get into more of these solutions, bro, let's go back to you, bro. And let's talk about the fun part of this show, because that's where we get to what you think is going to happen next. And this is part of what I'm really, really, really hoping for. Look, Raul, don't hold. I know you never do, bro. Don't hold back. Tell me exactly where you see. I truly do value the judgment of both of you guys. So I'm curious to see in your crystal ball where you see this thing going.
All right, man. So first off, I'm just going to bring up a few parts of the debate. And let me say one thing. I did like the way the format was for this debate. There was no BS. There was no nonsense. It was straight shooter. You got this amount, a set amount of time. Here's a question. They shoot it to both of them and then move right on to the next. No audience, you know. So I did like the flow of the debate. For me, I honestly just tuned in just because we podcast and I feel like I need to be informed so I could talk about it, but I wasn't excited to watch it. But once I started watching it, I was like, man, this is awesome. Is this Saturday Night Live or a presidential debate? Yeah, I really honestly thought it was Saturday Night Live. And I'll admit, Trump mopped the floor with Biden. He mopped the floor with him. But how easy is it to mop the floor with an 81-year-old man that has dementia? I mean, it's not that hard. That's like Michael Jordan playing basketball against kindergartners. You know what I mean? So, I mean, but I just wanted to bring up some of the points because I do like some of what Trump says. I'm not going to lie. I just don't trust the guy because he's a Zionist. He's the one that pushed Operation Warp Speed. And let's be honest, we're level playing geocentrists. And this is the guy that created Space Force. He's got many a ties to the cabal. He's been caught doing many Mason hand symbols and handshakes and just behind the scenes, man. I don't think the guy is who he's playing himself to be, like a hero for the average Joe. You know, he's going to come in and fix things and restore things and make things right. Listen, he said a lot of great things, right? He said that he would like to end the war in Ukraine, that he'll put a stop to that. He'll reinstall these trade tariffs that will stop enemies of the United States from being able to operate at a high level and restore our economy. You know, he'll preserve Social Security and Medicaid, and which, by the way, that was so hilarious when Biden said what he said about Medicaid, and then the question about abortion and restoring Roe versus Wade, and he went on this rant. I mean, just bumbling, stumbling rant. And he said, talked about spouses being raped by their in-law, or women being raped by their in-laws and being raped by their brothers and sisters and being raped by their spouses. And we're going to arrest them when they're crossing state lines. Like, what? What did you do?
The Biden household, bro.
Yeah, that's exactly what I thought. I said, dude, are you talking about your own family? Like, right. It was hilarious. I was dying laughing at some of the stuff that they said. Like at the end when they were challenging each other to a golf match, and President Trump just tells him, he's like, come on, man. He's like, let's not be childish here. You know, I mean, it's just crazy. It was pure entertainment, but I mean, look at Biden, dude. I mean, I'm not going to vote for either one of these guys because I don't want to have to be the one to say I voted for that guy and I helped put him in office and now I'm partially to blame. I want to be able to sit back and say my hands are clean of all this stuff. There's got to be some third party candidates on there. You guys can call it a wasted vote. You can call whatever you want to. I'm going to vote that way. That's my choice. That's my prerogative. But I got to admit, though, if I was just going to roll the dice, I would rather roll the dice with Trump. But like I said, I don't trust the guy. Zionist all the way, dude. You know, he's a Zionist all the way, man. You know, he supports Israel 110%. But I mean, Biden and the left are just so far gone. But this is you asking me my crystal ball. This is my crystal ball moment. This is what I will tell you, folks. And it's already happening. I saw they put out a statement today. I saw something pop up on the computer at work and it was talking about, you know, the Democrats are deeming Biden unfit for the position and that they're going to start looking for somebody to replace him because they actually have till August to replace him on the card. So I'm calling it now. Michael Obama. Ooh, shoot. Did I say that? I mean, Michelle Obama, Oprah. Okay.
Oh my God.
Hillary Clinton or Gavin Newsom. Pick any one of those four. I think they're going to pick one of those four to pit against Trump. And it's going to get real ugly. It's going to get real nasty. Like I said, I do like a lot of what Trump said. I just don't trust the guy. But he did mop the floor with this guy in the debate. Let's be honest.
I'll go next. I'm going to say I fully agree with everything you just said there. I'm going to add one more thing to it. I'm going to go so far as to say that I think Trump was in on it. And I'll tell you how I can prove it, how I think I can prove it. No time in American history has there ever been a presidential debate before the conventions. Now, if Trump would have, now, okay, I'm not believing, just like with the whole Operation Warp Seed or War Seed, whatever it was.
Warp Speed.
Yeah, it was actually a war on the seed, I think.
Yeah.
Yep.
Now, with, I'm having a hard time believing that a electrician up in Canada, one down in America, and then my man out there in the out west, all of us were able to see beyond what was actually going on there, but the president of the United States of Amnesia couldn't. So number one, he was in on that. Number two, now let's just say I'm Trump for a minute and they say, hey, we're going to challenge you to a debate. It's going to be on CNN. Okay. I'm thinking, all right, well, I'm probably going to say, yeah. When do you want to have this debate? If they told me that it was before the convention, I would have declined immediately because I would have known everybody in the great grandmother knows that this dude is that Biden is doesn't even know what galaxy, if there was such a thing, that he's even on. I mean, this guy is just totally chewed up. So I would have instinctively have known that if you want to have a debate before the convention, then the only reason is because you're looking for a reason to get Biden out of there and replace him with somebody, because it'll be a shot across the bow that this dude is totally unfit. Now, for tactical reasons, if I were Trump, I would have said, absolutely not. We'll wait until after the conventions. I know we're both presumptive nominees here, but we're going to wait until after the convention. And here's the reason why, because you won't be able to replace him. Mm-hmm. From a tactical standpoint, Biden is a shoo-in. There is no way Trump doesn't win. I mean, you can believe all these nonsensical polls anyway, but you look at people out there that do real polling. Biden is polling somewhere around 8%, which is undreamed of. You are no longer able to govern technically when you hit 30%. In the reliable polls, we're talking about 8%. Now, let's just do a little bit of math here. If I'm Trump, I'm thinking, okay, not going to debate you before the primary, before the conventions, because they're going to rally around themselves and say, oops, like you said, Raul, who do we want to put in there? Gruesome Newsom, Michael Obama. Do we want, my prediction is if they do it, Hillary's going to be involved in there. And I think I can make a pretty good case for that. And also Michael Obama seems largely, he has whatever it is, that trans testicle, whatever the case may be, has no political experience whatsoever. And honestly, can't bring anything to the table other than I'm a black woman. So I am fully believing that whatever this puppet show is, Trump is 100% involved. There is no way any of his advisors or he himself, you're telling me all of us are able to see through this, but they can't? So number one, I think Trump is definitely involved. What I think is going to happen next, and I don't think it matters. I think it goes right back to the work of Carol Quigley, who, by the way, was the right-hand man of Bill Clinton, or number one, Bill Clinton thanked him. Carol Quigley wrote, and it basically got out. It was never supposed to be meant for the public, but he basically wrote that, yeah, we have a political system where it doesn't matter whether it's left or right, Tide, Cheer, Coke, Pepsi, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. They're all working for us. So it really doesn't matter whom you choose. Like you said, Trump is bought and paid for, just like Biden and everybody else in Congress. Israel owns 99% of these people. Ask Cynthia McKinney what you had to do the second you get into Congress. Or the AIPAC is coming to you with paperwork saying, basically, if you don't sign with us at AIPAC, we're going to make sure that you are not in political office next term. So Trump's part of it. Everybody else is part of it. And what I think is going to happen from here, sorry to be so long-winded, but I think what's going to happen from here is that it really doesn't matter. Whoever they put in there is going to be working for the cabal. These people that have these marionette strings above, no matter who's in there. But yeah, I think what's going to happen, Biden is probably going to meet an untimely demise if they vote him out at the convention. I don't see that happening. I think what's going to happen is he's either going to step down, or he's so demented that he's going to meet a JFK moment, but it's not going to be like JFK. It's not going to be November 22nd, 1963 all over again. I think he's just going to slip in a bathtub. He's going to be incapacitated. He's going to be out. And then all of a sudden, whoever they put in charge, there's no harm, no foul. They're just filling a vacant spot. And it ain't going to be Kamala, the Ugandan giant Harris, whatever her name is. Yeah, you got to be a wrestling fan from way back to know what I'm talking about.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but it ain't going to be Kamala, the Ugandan warrior. And that's how I see it rolling. Alex, let me throw it on over to you.
Sure. I guess my prediction's pretty simple. I say that they go toe-to-toe in, when is the election, in November?
First Tuesday after the first Monday in November on even number of years. That's what our Constitution says.
Yeah, so the conspiracy theory is that Biden either dies or steps down in August. The female replaces him, which would be Kamala. So I'm going to go anti-conspiracy theory. I say no red herrings. They just make it to November. Trump wins easily. Basically, Biden sails off into the sunset. And, we won, right? Like, oh, the good guys won, and we got 4 years of... we're saved. Everything's going to get back on track. Inflation's, nobody talks about inflation, or I feel like I'm the only one that ever talks about it, but I was just in America, and you guys, like, you don't understand how bad inflation is in America. I thought it was bad in Canada. It's two or three times worse in the United States. Wow. And you guys are getting bled out, and you don't even, like, seriously, man, these parliament buildings need to be burned. Like, everybody dragged out and burned down. Everything needs to be restarted, and with, like, normal human beings that actually care about the country. Like, we got to get rid of this, like, secret society crap and all these marionette people. And honestly, like, either they take me down for saying this kind of stuff, or we just rise up and we got to be somewhat of heroes. Like, somebody's got to take the stage. So,
Raul, how do you see this? I mean, Alex, I think that's entirely plausible. I think Raul's plan is entirely plausible. I think at the end of the day, it really doesn't matter. But Raul, I got to ask. Okay, so everybody is under this assumption that if Trump gets back in, heads are going to roll. He's going to lock them up, lock her up. Do you see it unfolding that way? How do you see if, let's say, theoretically, it works out like Alex says, let's say it's just straight, and that's entirely possible. It goes that way. And now all of a sudden Trump is in there. What do you think happens when he gets in there? Is he going to do anything? I mean, how do you see it unfolding?
You know, it's all this stuff that he's been saying for, he said this last time, right? I'm going to drain the swamp. I'm going to expose the creatures. We're going to clean up this. I'm not a politician. I'm on your side. You know, I don't trust the guy. I don't trust him to follow through on those words. I think they're actually friends behind closed doors. I think he is part of them. He is part of the world elites. This has been planned. They've wrote a script and they're following it. It's a Hollywood production, and they found the perfect way to divide the country. And I think that's what it's always been about from the very beginning, is they found a way to get people in an emotional state instead of a rational state of mind. Let's keep people in an irrational state of mind so we can inject them with anxieties and fears. Because one side on the left, I mean, and I don't even know how you could even, like, I was driving home today and I saw a sticker that said veterans for Biden in 2024. Wow. On this guy driving in front of me. And I was like, how have you not ripped that sticker off your car? Especially after what you've seen last night. It's embarrassing to drive around with that. Like, I don't know how anybody in their right mind, like I said, I do understand how some people could be like, you know, Trump, like, you know, but this is the thing. Like, I think that I don't think he can say, I know he said the word Jesus before and this and that, but they can say one thing and not mean it. You know, so much of the church thinks that this guy is for Christians. He's going to stand up for Christians. He's going to restore order. He's going to bring, you know, he's going to take down the politicians. He's going to drain the swamp. No, he's not. He's a wolves in sheep's clothing. He's playing a part, you know, and the people on the left are like, oh, he's this racist. He's a bigot. He's a sexist. He's a cookie grabber, you know, female cookie grabber. He's a criminal. He's, you know, it's just all this stuff to get people so angry, you know. And then these people that are pro-choice, they're like, oh, we can't stand him. And people that are for LGBTQ, oh, we can't stand him. He's just toxic masculinity. And he's everything that's wrong with America. And you know, all these racist people are just going to rise up and rally around him. And like, they don't realize, like, actually the Black and Hispanic population are on Trump's side. And that's a lot of the thing that he was saying during the debate. Was he's saying, like, the Black and Hispanic population, I actually have them with your immigration policy, Biden. Like, all these Blacks and Hispanics are actually losing jobs. Like, I want to deport all these illegal immigrants, people that are here illegally. We're going to have the biggest deportation ever. But what they don't mention is that he will also want to deport American citizens that don't agree with his policies. Yes. And I think this is what I think, is that he'll turn into a tyrannical dictator and he's not going to follow up on what he says. You know, I liked what he said, like when he was talking about people should have a choice whether or not they take the vaccine. They should have never been forced to. Well, dude, you're the one that created Operation Warp Speed, but now you're he's stepping it back. He's taking things back. But I think it's kind of funny that back in the 90s, they had this thing called the Illuminati card game. You guys are familiar with this, right? Yeah. And they had a Trump card, and it was literally a character like Trump, a non-politician, a face catapulted to the front. You know, they're presenting him here as the working man's hero. He's going to restore our economy. Like, let's be honest, when Trump was in office last time, no wars, no American military casualties, no this, no that. Like, we got Biden. I mean, it was just a complete, I mean, this last 4 years, we get four more years of this, stick a fork in us, hammer the last nail in the coffin. We're done. We're toast. Like, we cannot survive another four of the left in there. We just can't. Maybe, I hope and I pray and I wish, and I know God can change a man's heart to serve him, but I don't know if it's happened. I think these guys are sold out to the dark forces. And I think that Trump has been placed in this role and he's playing his part perfectly. And basically what they did with this debate, they just lobbed him a slam dunk. They just said, here, he just got a perfect lob from Chris Paul and he just slammed it home all over. And then he's standing over Biden pointing at him, just laughing. But, you know, they knew what they were doing. Just like you said, Billy, they knew what they were doing when they pitted this matchup, and Trump should have seen this is a setup. Now they got a chance to replace him with somebody that is more competent and that could actually pit this fight. But I kind of see what Alex is saying too. I think that Trump could possibly win, and that when he wins, he just flips the script and takes it to the next level. I hope, I wish, like, all this stuff that he talks about, I would love for it to happen. I would love for us to pull out of Ukraine. I would love for us to find a way to restore peace in the Middle East. Maybe I pray that Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, can change whoever gets in office, that he can change their heart. But, you know, I don't think so, man. I think these guys are sold out to the dark forces. I think they work for the enemy, and I think they're executing their plan. We've heard that they have Agenda 2030, you know, so we're getting pretty close. 24, if they're elected in 24, it'll take us all the way up to 28. They got two more years for their Great Reset. I've always heard through the conspiracy community, and I call it conspiracy analysts, not analyzing, not conspiracy theory, because there's no theories about this. We have the smoking gun on a lot of this stuff, just like Alex said, with the Hunter Biden laptop, the emails. Like, I don't even want to get into, like, if Clinton comes into the show with frazzle drip and all this crazy nonsense, you know what I mean? Like, it's insanity. But I'm just sitting back saying, I can't control any of this. What I can control is what's going on in my community, get involved on things on my local level, try to make an impact that way, try to raise my kids to be smart, think for themselves. But I'm just sitting back watching the show. Thank God we have that we still have God on the throne, though, this world. You know, I mean, God sits on the throne, not these clowns. So fundamentally, thank God for that.
Fundamentally, I think so many of us are looking for political solutions to spiritual problems. Mm-hmm. At the end of the day, whether it's right here, whether it's in Canada, I was in Canada on the other side of it not long ago, but I will say I did see a major distinction. And Alex, I know you're on the other side of Canada, but where I was, Michelle and I, we were up there visiting one of my mentors. And I'll tell you one thing I noticed in Canada that, I mean, despite the, you know, what may be going on up there, every time I've been to Canada, and I think maybe this is my fourth or fifth time, I can't recall exactly. Always the friendliest people in the world. But I'll tell you one thing I did see up there that I don't see here is I saw kids literally outside playing, kicking balls. They were playing kickball. They were playing volleyball. They weren't on their phones. And I saw people that were interacting with one another. I mean, I guess what I'm wanting to, because Alex, you are technically across the border. We share a language, obviously. Mm-hmm. But are things so screwed up there as they are down here? I mean, you have a better basis of comparison because you just left LA. I'm pretty sure you didn't go to Skid Row and see what was going on down there.
Don't even need to go to Skid Row to see the crazy stuff.
Yeah, but I mean, you have a better basis of comparison. And I want you to be brutally honest. I mean, I know Canadians are always polite and everything, but bro, I want you to drop a tactical nuke right now of what you really think. In comparison, you guys seem like you have it way more together, despite Justin Castro and the stuff he's doing. Is that just am I wrong in seeing this, or what's your assessment of it?
Yeah, it makes me really sad that we even have to talk about this kind of stuff. Kind of breaks my heart. Like, I love Canada. Canada is an amazing country. There's way less people. We do have the whole friendly element. There's definitely in the Western and the prairie culture, just like in America too. You go to the middle of America, I would say most people are pretty friendly, and you just kind of take that up into Canada, and most people are, for the most part, friendly. Politics. I would say politics, politicians ruin countries, any country, right? Like, if it wasn't for Justin Trudeau, wasn't for the Liberal Party running our country into the ground, we would be in much better shape. I know that I'm not a huge conservative fan. I never really was. I don't even know if I am now, but I know that the conservatives, they are conservative in their spending, and they try and balance a budget, and they try and get your country profitable, and with foreign trade, with everything, right? Like, Canada doesn't waste insane amounts of money on military or NASA nonsense, right? That's another major, major problem. Like, we've talked about government spending. Like, yours is like 10,000 times worse than ours, and ours is bad. We have some immigration issues here too, but not the same as what you guys have. We have less people. People here, they understand that we're not making as much money as we used to. Inflation's crazy. We're having way less kids. Even the younger generations, like, talking about not having kids. So they're bringing in professionals from other countries, which is great. But when those professionals come here and they, this is way better than India or something. But like, as you start to lower the bar, Canada starts getting lower and lower, and everybody's like, yeah, it's still better than Afghanistan. It's still better than all these things. Yeah, but it's not like Canada should be trying to raise the bar. Canada should be trying to get to become the best country in the world, and we're not. We're just, you know, we're just basically becoming this socialist thing where we're all just trying to even out, and it drives me crazy. I want us to be profitable, lucrative, abundant. I want us to all have incredible lives. There shouldn't be a reason why a man can't support his entire family without his wife having to work.
Bam.
And it drives me crazy. And I've told Raul this story too. My dad coming from Russia in the 70s, just working a crap job, like for a minimum wage. And he paid off my grandparent, his paid off his own parents' house in 5 years. He had a brand new Camaro. Like, that's the equivalent of him working at like Tim Hortons full time now. Like, you're going to pay off your house in 5 years and have a brand new Camaro if you're working at Starbucks or Tim Hortons? No, we live in a completely different world. And I used to joke with my kids. It's like, oh God, I remember my grandpa used to tell me you can get a hot dog for 10 cents and go to a movie for 5 cents. And now I'm going to take my kids and it's going to cost $100 to go see a movie. Like, our money, like, people don't understand that our money is quickly, like, it's garbage. It's absolute trash. Our money, there is no value anymore. Like, I don't care if my house is worth $1 million or $2 million or $3 million. Like, money is totally worthless, and it's all by design, right? They want us to go to crypto. They want us to go to like secure digital currency and whatever. I mean, if that kind of saves things for now, and I know the conspiracy theorists and all of us realize that, yeah, they can control us way more if we go to that. But I mean, guys, like, how are we supposed to stop hyperinflation and the currency when these guys made it up, and then they're the orchestrators of WWF wrestling, right? So what are we going to do? Like, we got to do something. But to answer Billy's question, Canada is a friendly place. Not, I would say 95% of, maybe even 98% of Canadians are amazing. And there's a lot of hurt people. There's a lot of people in terrible situations. And I would just say that in America, you have 10 times the population, so you have 10 times the problems that we have, right? It's just kind of magnified 10 times. But we have the same kind of problems too with drugs and things like that. You just don't see it because we have a tenth of your population, but it is there, and it's sad. And I would say that in a country like Canada, we shouldn't have any of it. We should be like the Saudi Arabia of North America. That's how many natural resources we have. That's how many incredible opportunities we have. Land, like, and very few people. We should be like rock stars here. And it is a crime against humanity that these politicians, that this system is rigged the way it is.
Raul, Canada is so friendly, bro. We're going to have to get up there and visit Alex one of these days, provided we still have an Earth. I mean, I'll tell you how friendly it is, bro. Now, Alex, you may or may not know this, but I'm sure Raul could. Look, I'm not trying to give too much of a description here, but check this out. If we were to go into a stall at a ball game, okay, when I say a stall, I'm talking like in a bathroom, like guys going to the bathroom. Mm-hmm. Look, man, it's like an unwritten rule that guys don't talk in the bathroom, you know, especially at the stall, dude. You go into the stall, you go into the urinal, you look straight ahead, and even if the guy next to you bursts into flames, you are not even permitted to redirect your aim to put him out. That's how strict those rules are here. Canada has been the only place where I could consistently go to the bathroom, and the guy, this is how friendly they were. It kind of freaked me out at first. The guy's like, hey, so how's your day going? I'm like, dude, I'm like trying to pee here, man. And now I got stage fright and I can't even go. And then I'm like, okay, man, will this guy hurry up? Cause I can't even pee until he's done talking to me. But honestly, people in Canada are friendly. I love it up there. I love every single time I go up to visit. But Raul, I said that little funny anecdote to lead to this. We got to talk about solutions. And like I said a moment ago, everybody's looking for they're looking for political solutions to spiritual problems, as a guy once put it. And all of us have got to be thinking about Plan B and where things are going. Like you said a moment ago, inflation. There was a guy the other day, Mike Adams was talking about him. 4 years ago, he had Walmart. Walmart can basically do your shopping. You pay for it. You go there, pick it up. 1 year ago, $100 got him, I don't know, 4 bags of groceries. He got the same exact items today, and it was $400.
Wow.
like Alex was saying, things seem like they're on the rise. But we'd be remiss here if we didn't at least offer some of the solutions that all of us are thinking about. Now, one of those solutions, it's not saying, hey, go out and grow your food, go live in the boonies, or go move up to the wilds of Canada or something like that. But what precautions or what mitigation means are you doing, or are you thinking about, whether it's with your family, how you're spending your money, how are you looking to get around whatever this political abortion that is unfolding right before our eyes is happening? What's your solution to kind of get around what you have got to see as a train wreck?
Thank God for faith, you know, faith over fear. I can't let the anxiety of worrying about what's coming down the pipeline stop me from fulfilling my mission and my duty. And I do believe that as podcasters in this game, we are the watchmen. We are the ones that are blowing the trumpets, trying to wake up our fellow humans and point them in a different direction and say, hey, like, we need to be the change. We need to stop relying on them to do it for us. Let's be the change ourselves. And I think it starts on a local level, and then it just permeates and grows out that way, you know? So I'm not worrying about the things that I can't control. The things that I can't control, I put my faith in God and know that ultimately He will restore order. I would love for some of these promises that these politicians to make that they'll follow through with, but let's be honest, they're politicians. They talk a big game and they never follow through with anything. And I just wanted to bring up a few things, and I will get into some of the solutions, but when you guys were talking, I took down some notes. First off, I wanted to mention both these guys have been seen kissing the Western Wall. We know what that means. We know who their allegiance lies with. And I saw 40% Americans are getting taxed at a rate of 40% of their income. 40%. We fought a revolutionary war over 2% taxes, okay? We're getting taxed 40%. We are getting taxed twice the amount that Pharaoh was taxing the slaves. Twice the amount that Pharaoh is taxing the slaves. That's insanity, folks. That's insanity. Like, I just got like my dream job, and I get, I get paid pretty decent. If you would have told me 10 years ago about how much money I'd be making an hour now, I would be thinking, oh man, I must be living great, man. I still find myself living paycheck to paycheck, you know, barely able to put anything away in savings. So, but you're right. We do got to try to save for a rainy day. We got to learn to budget. We got to learn to be smart. You know, I learned to be a coupon shopper, Groupon shopper. You know, when you can grow your own food, talk to your children. Don't just put them in front of a TV and don't just let them play video games all day. Sit down and have dinner with them. You know, if you can pull your kids from public school, at least try a charter school, try something different, homeschool pods, all these things. We got to take it back. We got to start taking it back. And, wanted to bring up a few more things that I heard on the debate too. You know, they were talking about the drug problem in this country, and Alex talked about it existing up there in Canada as well. And I see it on a firsthand basis working as a substance abuse technician for the county at our county funded detox and rehab facility, one of the only free ones around. And these liberal politics are coming into where I work now, and they're reinstituting it and making a new ordinance. And we're having to unify as the workforce to try to stop some of this stuff from happening. And I went to a city council meeting the other day, and I spoke on our behalf, because you can't just sit back and take this stuff. We do got to fight back in some way and let them know like where we stand, because if we don't try, it's the takeover, right? So we can't give up. We can't throw in the white towel. We can't raise the white flag. We just got to keep doing our things, start on a local level and show love and kindness. And people, just shut off the news, watch what you eat, fast, pray, spend some me time, spend time with your family. I mean, that's ultimately the smallest ways that we can institute change. It just got to start with ourselves. And I just laughed. They talk about the drug problems, you know, the fentanyl crisis, man. I'm seeing it, man. It is so crazy. Like, Biden just straight up lied on the podium. He said that overdoses have went down during his time.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, dude, they've skyrocketed through the roof. I mean, you just drive downtown Albuquerque, it is like the zombie apocalypse, man. You're seeing just the craziest stuff. And these dudes smoke it right out in broad daylight. Cops will pull up at a red light and the dude's smoking foil or twisting a bubble, and the cops don't even do anything. Like back in my day, you got caught smoking a joint, you're getting slapped in handcuffs and going down to the hoosegow for at least a few weeks. And if you have a decent amount on, you might see prison time. These dudes are just rolling around smoking meth and fentanyl in broad daylight, you know, some of it sometimes in public places inside buildings, and nothing happens to them. It's ridiculous. And then they ask Biden, how do you plan on stopping this? Oh, fentanyl machines at the border. Well, you think they're coming just straight across the border, right where you know they're coming through? They're coming through all these crazy gaps in every way, underground tunnels, flying, dropping stuff from drones. Like, so getting some fentanyl detecting machines at the border ain't going to stop nothing. Like, that was ridiculous. Like, come on. And the other thing I wanted to point out too, man, that I laughed about. Oh, man, and I'm going to shoot it back to you, Billy, because I want to hear your answer on this, because I don't think I've ever really heard you talk about this, or maybe you have, but not in great detail. But they talked about that pullout in Afghanistan. Remember all that military equipment that we lost? Black Hawk helicopters, ammunition, AR-15s, I mean, tanks. Like, they just let them have it. Like, that was the most disgusting. I mean, I remember how mad I was. I try not to let the news get me upset. I was so pissed off when I seen that. That was a slap in the face to everybody that went over there and served in that war that we should have never been in the first place. And it was a genocide on those Middle Eastern people. Let's just call it what it is, just like what's going on in Palestine now. But it was just we wanted their resources. We wanted their opiates so we could cause this drug problem over here in the United States. We wanted the oil. We wanted this. We want all that. So we go over there and we take it. But man, that pullout in Afghanistan, that was disgusting. Like, what did you think about that Afghan pullout, man? He shouldn't win. He should have been booted from office just from that alone.
Well, if you look historically, I would recommend, if I were a teacher, I would highly recommend it would be mandatory reading that every single person graduating from whatever institution I was in charge of would read Confessions of an Economic Hitman. That would be one book. The other book, which is kind of a part two written by another author, is called Vulture's Picnic. And what you realize is that what Eisenhower said in his farewell address, and I'm going to kind of quote this from memory, he says, "We must guard against the unwarranted acquisition, whether sought or unsought by the military-industrial complex. We must never let the weight of this endanger our liberties or democratic processes." Now, I'm loosely quoting it, but I think you got the point. At the end of the day, this war is big business. Conflict is big business. And that's the way it's always been for as long as we know. I mean, as long as the history books are open. Now, Afghanistan is just an extension of that. Now, going back to what Eisenhower said, war being, or better still, the first, okay, General Smedley Darlington Butler, he wrote a book called War is a Racket. That will also be on the mandatory reading list. And in there, this is the one of only 9 people ever to win the Congressional Medal of Honor twice. He would have been the only person in history to have won it a third time, but he turned it down. He wrote a book called War is a Racket, and he explains, after having done this, working as a henchman in the Marine Corps for all this time, everybody should read this book. Mm-hmm. The information is all out there. At the end of the day, they see us all as cattle. But I'll tell you what gives me joy. I'm going to, as far as the whole Afghanistan thing, you think about it from a military-industrial complex point of view, think about this, guys. You can rob and kill a man only once. Mm-hmm. You can steal from him again and again. So if they let all that stuff go over there, then now all of a sudden the military industrial complex people, it's like everybody that was over in Afghanistan, you get Iraq, whenever a Humvee would have a flat tire, they would demolish the entire Humvee because they worked on what was called a cost plus basis. The military industrial complex contractors make money based on how much they spend. So instead of replacing that Humvee tire, they deep six the whole Humvee, replace it because they get paid that much more. So I'm not at all shocked or surprised, but I'll tell you what gives me joy. And it's really coming down to both of you guys. There is nothing more deeply stirring to my blood is when I see you guys, you send me your pictures, and it gives me such incredible joy because my son and my grandbaby, they're located in the middle of the country at our other farm. He runs it over there. So I don't get to see him every day, but we do do, you know, internet phone calls and stuff like that. But Raul, you know, when you're out there in the country with your boys and your kids, and you run into Holly Holm and you send me this picture, or you're out and about and you're in the swimming pool with the kids, or Alex, you're in LA and I'd never seen your family before. And I'm like, man, how cool, you know, how much I love these guys, man, that you entrust me with pictures of you doing wonderful things with your family. I think that's the solution. That's where I think it happens. And when I hear you guys in your podcast and you talk about your kids, of all the things you cover, to me, the thing that I find most deeply moving and the solution to what I think the problem is it all starting at home, whether we have divided families or split families, the most worthwhile, the only worthwhile thing that you, Alex, you, Raul, or me, the only worthwhile thing we're going to leave on the planet, for me, it's not going to be the thousands of trees I plant. It's not going to be the animals I raise. It's not going to be all the people I fed. The only worthwhile thing I'm going to leave on this planet is my progeny. Mm-hmm. Just like they say in the preamble to the Constitution, you know, that we that we're doing all these things for the benefit of our posterity. And I think that's where the solution lies. Now, sadly, we live in a highly decadent culture where we know the price of everything and the value of nothing. And at the end of the day, when I see you guys and I see the pictures that you send with your family, and Alex, I hear you, and I know what it feels like when you have a kid that's growing up and you're no longer the cool dad anymore. Mom and dad are no longer cool, that you want to, but you raise a child in the way they should go. And when they are old, they will not depart from it. Not to say that they're not going to go their way a little bit, but you gave that foundation. I think that's where it lies. Yeah. I can lament this abortion called an election where no matter who wins, we still lose. Not necessarily. I still win if I can make myself a coalition of the willing, that I exchange ideas and thoughts and love and feelings and all those things. Even though you guys are miles away from me, I'm envisioning, I ain't gonna lie, Alex's little trip out there just kind of made me a little bit jealous, because I'm thinking, man, how cool would it have been to be in that room? And Raul, I know you got to be in the same place.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, dude, what could I do to make a party with a purpose where I'm hanging out with these guys who are some of the best friends I have, where maybe we got our families, maybe it's just us hanging out, maybe we're going fishing, maybe we're doing whatever, doing these things that are worthwhile. Yeah. At the end of the day, I'm doing all I can to show every human being possible what you need to do. It was like I was told by a captain when I was in the Army. I remember telling him a problem, and he says, okay, so what are you going to do about it? And I said, I don't know. And then he said, okay. And this is one of the best lessons I ever had. And it was embarrassing, but it was a really good lesson, because he did it publicly. He says, I'll tell you what, don't ever come to me again with a problem to which you have not thought out two possible solutions. So don't offer a problem to me unless you're going to offer two solutions to that problem. So that's exactly what I do today, whether it's on the YouTube channel or the podcast. I may talk about, yeah, the Deagle report. According to the Deagle report, the United States population is going to be down to about 70 million by 2025. Does that keep me awake at night? No, not necessarily, because I've known about this information and I've made provisions. And I'm telling everybody, hey, this is what the Deagle report's saying, but check it out. If you were to plant peach trees right now, you could have fruit by the time that jumps off. Or if you were to do one of the most innovative methods in the world called the chicken tractor on steroids, just one of those in every neighborhood in America could feed everybody. Mm-hmm. Provide you all the compost you need, all the eggs you need, all the chickens you need. So I'm providing solutions out there, but sadly, history proves that when a society becomes this decadent, nobody's listening to you until a collapse happens.
Yep.
So what I'm saying is, in terms of solutions, and I want to toss it over to my man, Alex. Sorry, man. All you people look the same to me. No, but at the end of the day, man, I'm trying to tell everybody, go out there. Look, these are some awful things going on. But like the sons of Issachar in the Bible, they saw the signs of the times and they made preparations for it. Whether it's saying, hey, things jump off. Hey, bro, we got a place at your place. Or can we go here? Can we forward up? Can we do this? Can we do whatever? But honestly, at the end of the day, what gives me hope is seeing you guys and the pictures y'all send me of you doing the most magical things with your family. And I think that's the solution to all of it. Alex, what do you got, bro, for solutions?
Oh, man. Well, if I followed my gut, I would probably sell everything. I would sell everything right now, and I'd go and just do a recon mission to whatever country, Mexico, Peru. America is probably too expensive, just like Canada needs to be. Hit the ripcord and get out of here. And Thailand, I don't know. I don't know what the solution is. My kids are kind of my anchors. They want to stay here. So I'm kind of going against my gut. And I think right now, like, my wife and I were trying to get ahead. So I think we have about 4 sources of income. So I don't know about you guys, if you ever heard this rule, but if you ever want to get rich, you need about 7 sources of income. So right now I got 4. And so one of the hard things is for me to kind of not completely walk away, but take a minor step away from KP Design and go back into the electrical field and get another income to try and double about double our income so that I can not sell everything and still get ahead, get another property somewhere and invest in things that just aren't. Basically, what I'm trying to say is you can't save your way out of inflation. So you need to be able to invest or figure out ways to get assets in order to create wealth. And like I said, I could save probably 20 grand. And in a year, that 20 grand will probably be worth 10 just because of how bad inflation is, right? So we might as well be trying to invest in some properties and try and get to that next level. Like for me, I would love to, kind of have what you have, Billy, and just start building. Like I love building things. And if I could get a big property and start building houses and building another business, either a healing retreat or a place where people can go. And then that would turn into, income number 6 or 7, whatever. But that's basically what I'm trying to do is just trying to figure out ways to create extra streams of income, because you just can't do it on one. Like I'm having a hard time with 4. I'm having a hard time with 4. That's insane.
Yeah.
And yeah, you're right. We do live decadently. I went to Los Angeles. I went to Mexico. I have, my house isn't a mansion, but the house is nice. We have things we eat. Like we eat food. Like wow, I just live this crazy lifestyle. I drive a 2017 Toyota RAV4. Like, whoa. But it's just you try and give your kids a good life. And as a man, there's lots of times where I feel a ton of pressure on my shoulders. It's like, man, am I good enough? Am I smart enough? Am I working hard enough? Am I giving them the best life humanly possible? And there's a lot of nights where I kind of lay there awake and it's like the anxiety kicks in. It's like, if I get sick or if something happens to me, what happens to everybody else, right? Am I worth more dead to them? That's why I have to take care of myself as best as possible, because there's still so much race to be ran. And I want to, I want to take care of my girls and I want them to have a good life. And it's emotional to see what everybody's going through. And I would say the thing that everybody's probably trying to do is make as much money so that the world's problems don't affect them. And that kind of breaks my heart, because it's a losing game. We are losing. If all we're trying to do is make more money, inflation is going to slit our throats and we're just going to be dead by the wayside. So we might as well try and find ways to have assets. Like I have an Airbnb. If I get another property and we can start farming like you do, Billy, and start selling some of those things that we have are assets that are making us money. They're not liabilities. So everybody just cut back on your liabilities, turn your house into an asset, turn your car into an asset, whatever. It's just there's creative ways. I mean, yeah, you can do an OnlyFans, Billy, like me, Canadian OnlyFans. And but man, it hasn't taken off like I wanted it to. So I got to figure that out. So
yeah, well, you got to change your stage name, bro. Going by Rumple Foreskin ain't gonna work out for you, bro.
So you did find me. Okay, you did look me
up. Yeah, you got to come up with something else, man. But no, hey, it's, you know what? I know you guys had about an hour, and I would like to talk to you offline about some of these other solutions I have, because, and I've talked about a lot of them on the podcast, but by and large, most people don't necessarily want to hear them. But look, folks, it's been such a joy to hang out with My brother's from another mother. I wish they lived down the road from me right now, because honestly, just with the skills that these guys bring to the table. I mean, folks, before we get out of here, I just want to point out something. If you're going to build a MAG or a mutual assistance group, think about the people that you have. I mean, just right here on this call, I've talked about it before. You know, actually, I've talked about it with these guys just briefly. You know, with Alex's background, Raul has a lot of different backgrounds, whether in construction, medical, whatever. And then you take mine as an electrician and also as a permaculture designer. We raise all of our stuff for free. You were to take just the four of us guys and put us on the same area, then there's really not a problem that would arise on that homestead that could not be resolved. And plus, I'm talking about methods, whether the chicken tractor on steroids, how we raise our pork for 21 cents a pound, which is unheard of, and it's better than anything you could hope to buy. We raise our ruminants, our sheep, cows, all this stuff we raise for free, just working in accordance with nature. So folks, if you're going to do any of this stuff out here, I know we talked about some dark things, and it looks like, look, I'm not going to blow smoke. Looks like we're in for a rough ride. So as always, y'all, there's a reason why we say at the end of this show, stay alert, stay alive. But you know what? Don't lose your humanity in the process. Remember, you got kids. I mean, even though you get that stress out there, like I said, Raul's always sending me pictures of his kids out there, and they're always smiling. They're at the pool. They're out doing a hike. They're out doing some stuff. And then, you know, Alex recently showed me pictures of his kids in L.A. You know, it was strange. I didn't see any crack addicts anywhere around on sidewalks or anything, but
I don't take pictures of that.
Yeah, I figured it was probably at a very serene kind of place. But hey, before we get out of here, why don't you guys tell everybody where they can find you, because they got one ballin' podcast, y'all.
Yeah, we are the Firmamental Podcast. So just type in Firmamental wherever you find you listen to your podcast. We do have a Rumble channel. Just look up Firmamental on Rumble. We have started releasing some videos. We're still kind of like getting used to that. It takes a lot of work to edit video. It takes up a lot of space on Claude's computer, but we have been, I don't know, we probably got like four or five on there now. Alex has a TikTok channel. I think it's Firmamental Podcast, right? So we haven't really been hitting that too hard. I'll probably start doing stuff on there. We lowercase Firmamental 5 on Instagram. That's where you can find us, anywhere podcasts are listened to, and come over and join us. We talk about all kinds of things. It's not just level playing geocentrism. It's not conspiracy theory. I mean, it's permaculture, alternative medicine, mental health, you know, current events. Sometimes we talk crap about MMA or sports, or we just talk life and tell stories. And, you know, we've had paranormal podcasts and cryptid podcasts. So like we do a little bit of everything. We're a potpourri podcast, and that's the way we like it. And Alex always says, we're not your pastors. We're not your gurus. We're just two dudes who like to talk and have fun, and come join us for a fun time. We call our listeners the Firmamentalists. So shout out to everybody tuning into the Pimpcast right now that is already a Firmamentalist. And if not, come join the Firm fam. We'd be glad to have you. Alex, anything else? Oh, I did want to mention too, I don't know when you're putting this out, Billy.
It's going to be tonight, bro.
Oh, so it's tonight. By the way, this dude and myself are going on Killer Priest live podcast tomorrow.
Oh,
on
yeah.
YouTube. Killer Priest from Wu-Tang, man. Your boys are going to be on there with Killer Priest, man. So I'm super excited for that kind of, yeah, man. God's good. Thank you guys for having us. And Alex, I'll pass it off to you.
Yeah, just a little bit of scripture to end it off. Firmamental 3:16, we told you so. And Firmamental 19:1, protect your dome.
Oh, protect your dome. Man.
And hard as the Rakia, baby.
Bam. Hey, y'all, these guys are wonderful friends. It's been a joy to get to know them, and I hope to do more in the future. Until next time, stay alert, stay alive. MTCB.
Yeah, he's coming back. I'm talking about the Son of Man. Oh, you think that you gonna skip the plan? Brother, please don't make me laugh. Can't nobody flee from the Lamb. Better let your knees hit the ground, cause when you hear that trumpet sound, hoping you gonna be found, caught up with the rest of the crown, and Jesus' love forever bound. Are you counted with the bride, though? Cause you know he says that the blood will reach a horse's bridle. I know you scared, cause you always said his words are so hateful, but you just ignorant. It's always been written in the Bible. God showed me that this world needs revival. Then he sent me out with this rifle. Yeah, I'm proud to be called a misfit. I'll receive the truth even if it's from a hypocrite. I don't mind if the shoe fits, y'all listen. You're trusting in your scientism, but that position is in opposition to the proposition of the great physician. Come and get your healing on and quit your trust.